This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One of the most difficult questions I get asked by students who are beginning to study the classical sciences is the fact that they come across these different theologies within even Sunni Islam. And each one of them is very passionate about what it itself is preaching. And it might view the other versions or manifestations as being in error, as being theologically deviated. And you even have some very, if you like, strict people on all sides of the equation, basically expelling the others from being authentic or pure Sunni Muslims. And the fact of the matter is that this does raise some eyebrows. The beginning student knowledge is confused. What is to be done? This person might even be quoted various great scholars, whether they're Imam al-Ghazali, whether they're Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and they're being quoted things that seems to suggest that the quote-unquote other side isn't quite legit. It's not quite correct in its understanding. And this raises problems because on the one hand, these quotes do exist. On the other hand, given the circumstances and the world that we're living in, one wonders, is this really our priority, is to split hairs over finer details into we're already a minority within a minority within a minority? And for us practicing Muslims to disagree over some of the more advanced theological topics, does that make sense or not? So I've been asked this question. I myself have gone through a number of phases of my own life in this regard. And the fact of the matter is that, as I keep on saying to my students, and I remind myself, more knowledge always makes you more humble. And the more that one studies, and the more that one contextualizes, and the more that one historicizes these developments, the more that one realizes, you know, all of these strands, they were attempting to defend what they viewed as orthodoxy for the time and the place that they were in. Now, each one of them, inshallah ta'ala, was sincere. Perhaps some of them might have been, if you like, more rational, trying to defend Islam. Others are more textual and literalist, trying to defend Islam. But in the end of the day, I'm not doubting the sincerity of any of those within the spectrum of wanting to defend the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we look at the times that we're living in, the political and social circumstances, in fact, it is my certainty that if those great scholars that we are quoting on all sides were alive today, they would be the first people to teach us tolerance and to make us understand that we need to contextualize our problems. No matter how passionate you might have a certain understanding of Allah's names and attributes, of the specifics of Qadr, in the end of the day, all of the sides on these intra-Sunni equations and disputes, all of them, their intent was to defend the purity of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Additionally, the questions that these intra-Sunni disputes raise, the fact of the matter is, these questions are simply not found in the minds of our youth. The teenagers now, our young college men and women, they're not asking questions about how do we interpret this divine attribute? What does it mean when Allah says X in the Quran about His attribute? No, they're asking questions that are of a totally different genre. Does God exist? How do we understand the existence of evil? How do we know Islam is true? The entire debates about theology have moved on from the debates of 7th century Baghdad. So for us in the 21st century here in the Western world to take those debates as the end all and be all, and I'm not dismissing that tradition. I'm not saying that debate is totally irrelevant. What I am saying is that compared to the debates that we're having today, they are not anywhere near as relevant, nor therefore anywhere near as important as the modern debates. Contextualizing and understanding this, we then can say that inshallah ta'ala, all of these historical strands of Sunnism, those that go back 1,000, 1,200 years, perhaps even more than this, all of these historical strands, we need to learn to not just cooperate together. We need to learn to genuinely respect and tolerate these differences and to understand that our ulama of all of these spectrums actually wanted to defend Islam from those who wanted to harm it, from those who wanted to bring doubts. So we need to do what they did 1,000 years ago. Their questions were different than ours. And we can come and unite together on a common platform to defend the purity of our faith, to defend the orthodoxy of our tradition, and to answer modern questions. So to be very simplistic here, therefore, much of the intra-Sunni dispute that we find in the 3rd, 4th, 5th century simply does not need to be regurgitated. It doesn't need to be repeated so many centuries later. These are controversies of a bygone era, and we can leave them, controversies of a bygone era, for the masses. For the masses, all strands of Orthodox Sunnism, traditionalist Sunnism, all of them can come together and try to offer solutions of questions that are of a modern nature. And therefore, we need to get beyond this sectarian rhetoric and learn to understand that each of these traditions has a magnificent, glorious history, and inshallah ta'ala benefit from the rich heritage. And we'll talk more about this this whole issue of where do we draw the line and what is important and what is not. We'll talk more about it in the class that I'm currently teaching, and that is No Doubt. Jazakumullah khair. This is your brother in Islam, Yasir Qadhi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.